I want to address something that God has placed on my heart. We'll talk about it today and maybe next week. Maybe another week. We could finish it today. Depends on how far we can go and how much I can say. The believer is multidimensional, right? So by multidimensional, what I mean is there are parts of your life that are not directly about preaching and teaching the gospel. Of course, that is your first assignment. That's your primary assignment as a believer. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whosoever believes not is damned. The signs shall follow those that believe in the name. They'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. If they drink any deadly thing, you know them. You know, they lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. That's the primary assignment as a believer. If you're not preaching, something is missing. And it's something you can add today. Amen. You must make deliberate attempts to share your faith with another. Deliberate attempt to share your faith with another. But this teaching is not about that today. So like I said, there are parts of your life that is not about the discipleship. For example, your finances. I think I taught it here, and I said, people tell believers what to do with 10%, and nobody mentions what to do with the 90%. And because of that, we have believers who are broke. broke is not a spiritual word. If you have been broke before, you know what broke is. Amen. Yeah, we have believers who are broke. And when you're broke, the ability to function properly in the local church might be affected. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you have not eaten and they say we are fasting, you know, you just blend. It's not like I had anything to eat before. But the problem is when they now say we are breaking the fast, there's nothing to use to break. You are broken. And someone now tells you, where's your outreach report? You know, your head is at the moon. Same thing with health. So there are parts of your life that I say you are multidimensional. And you must always see yourself like that. Amen. You know, when we were in secondary school, there was something that I was questioning in my mind. And I said, why am I being first to take, how many subjects were we taking in secondary school? 12? Sorry, it's been a while. I can't remember sincerely. 18? 13, 14? 18, okay. I don't think I took 18. And remember, you do technical drawing. At some point in my school, they'll say, you choose between technical drawing and agricultural science, I think, right? And then between further mathematics and economics. All right, good. All right, so, and I asked my friend one time, I said, why are we forced to take all these subjects when the teacher can only take one? I mean, we have a teacher for economics. We have one for further mathematics. We have one for agric. The agric one is not taking mathematics. But I have to sit down for both the mathematics and the agric. And we laughed about it. I still think about it till today. When I was in university, I was still thinking about it. This lecturer takes orthopedics. This one takes micro. This one takes kinesiology. Why am I taking everything? You know, why can't I just take one and graduate, you know? But you have to fulfill all of those courses and you must not come behind in anyone, right? You can't say, the reason why I failed, give me one of your courses in school. Geography. No. In university, I don't want medical. Business communication. Give me another one. Business. Is that the exam you have tomorrow? That finances. Say, I'm not so finances. Okay. Finance and communication. Are you in the same department? Okay. She's an unknown. I'm not. Okay, oh, she's your senior. Hope you're taking past question. Alright, so, that's it. The reason why I failed business communication is because I was so busy reading business finance. You'll be asked, why didn't you read them together? Because you are expected to manage multiple tasks. And that's the way you must also reason as a believer. You can't say, the reason why my health is failing is because I've been preaching. The reason why my relationship and marriage is not going well is because I've been focusing on my health. No. You are multidimensional. Are you listening to me? And you must take care of every part. For example, your health. As I've told you before, your health directly impacts your ministry. I know what I'm talking about. If you're not healthy, you're not going to serve the Lord. And I've told you the components of good health. Three things you must focus on. One, your faith. When last did you pray for your health? Or you think you're too young? It's when you have gray hair, you not start praying. No, you pray for your health. You use your words. Right? My health is sound. I don't fall sick. God's power is at work in my body, effecting healings and cures. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Every tissue, every organ, every cell, every system is responding to God's power. I am not sick. Woo! Hallelujah. You have wrong thoughts coming to you. You know, you're setting out and then all you're thinking about is accident. No. Today is not the day I die. Amen. Amen. No. I will always win. Whose phone is that? Business, finance. I always win. So you use your faith for your health, for example. That's not where we're going to. Food is also part of good health. You can't claim, I'm trusting God for my health and all you're taking is alcohol. Let me say this. So there's no place in the Bible that says you should not take alcohol. That even Paul told Timothy that take a little alcohol for your stomach's sake. And it was your name Timothy. Let's start with that. What is your stomach issue? You don't have a stomach issue. Well, I was not praying, but it's fine. Amen. Your stomach is fine, but you are the gym. Says for the gods. Are you the gods? Let me say this. I'm not a medical person, right? But I passed through in front of Lut. There was a time I passed through in front of Lut like this. And I heard some things that they were saying. That almost all the conditions, if you're a medical person here, you know what I'm talking about. Almost every condition, one of the things that predispose a man to it is alcohol. I mean, they are asking, they are questioning you and clerking you about the kidney, and they are asking, do you drink? I remember talking to a patient one time, and I asked, do you take alcohol? I said, occasionally. Now, from experience, I know to ask better. So, I said, what is occasionally? He said, every time I make a sale. I said, what do you sell? Car battery. How often do you sell? He said, daily. So, you take alcohol daily. The guy said occasionally. And he's right. At every occasion. But the occasion is just daily. And then he said, your back is paining you. You don't see how it impacts your back, but it impacts your back. Because alcohol dehydrates. Takes water from you. And your spine is made of water. Your vertebral is 80% water. Stop drinking. Stop smoking. If you do, they impact your health. Forget morality. Don't forget the Bible, right? But even if you don't consider the Bible, naturally, common sense tells you this thing is killing you. You are multidimensional. You take charge of that part. Faith, food, all the money you are meant to use to eat, you have used to play too sure. Over 9.9. Sorry, I don't understand how it works. I just mentioned numbers. The other day I was in a salon trying to have an echo, and 90% of everybody there were talking about, there was a football match going on, and they say, Mutijono. Mutijono means, like, the money is gone. I know that. I was enjoying the game. Why? I have nothing. The only game I'm anxious about is Arsenal. Every other person can lose or win. I don't care. Amen. And by God's grace, Arsenal, we keep it. Amen. We just continue like this. Up Chelsea. That's how we'll just be doing. Team me. Hallelujah. Psychology do my parikini. So, but you use all your money on frivolities. You are buying makeup. You have not eaten. You say, no, I like Gary. That's you have a headache. too much of garri, what do you think it bring to your life? Garri is not balanced diet. There's nothing balanced about it. Indomie. Eat good food. Take charge of your health. You are multidimensional. That's not where you are going, you know. Your finances. Take charge. You want a new work, but your CV is akara wordy. They see your CV like this. Nonsense. It's not a CV, it's a VC. Nonsense. I remember interviewing a candidate sometime in the office. So what is he? I said, where do you stay? He said, my 12. I don't know where that is, but my 12 or my 2 or something. Just a 1 mile, sir. I said, okay, I understand. I said, and you went to school, a graduate. I'm not going to give you this job, but let me lecture you. I'm not going to give you the job. Let me lecture you. Because you're not qualified. Let's first start with that. You're not qualified. Your CV now looks not qualified too. The inner says God is not answering your prayers. God is answering your prayers. But you are wicked to yourself. Wisdom is chasing you. But you are very fast. Build skills. Get new skills. Develop yourself. Learn how to talk. Don't say God is not giving you work. Are you listening to me? You are multidimensional. The preaching of the gospel is not the reason why your relationship should be failing. You must have wisdom to manage everything. Are you listening to me? Or you're angry with me? Which one? Okay, thank you. At work, you are the one they are complaining about. Believer, you are the only one they complain about. Every query. You receive query weekly. Your attitude is not good. You have fought everybody. From admin to finance. You have fought to accounting. You have fought everybody. You know, say, they don't understand. They don't have the spirit. And you? You have? Is this what the spirit is doing through you? Fighting the nations. That's good to our teaching, Jerry. Ready for the word now. Wait. Before ready for the word. You say you don't have money. Your finances, you're not taking it serious. A psalmist said, and you can tell me, I think it's Nathaniel Bassi. He said, Dangote still they find money. Who I be? Where I know if you find money? You know that psalmist? But you are saying, do you know who I am? Who are you? Let be sincere. Who are you? I've never asked that question before. Do you know who I am? Because I'm a man in Christ. I know who I am. Sometimes you might not know that I'm a man in Christ because it's not the forehead. Which one is you know who I am? Why are you full of yourself? Because you have 5k in your account. Do you know who I am? Yeah, you have 50 million. You are still nothing. You are still nothing. Amen. 500 million. So they will not allow you to enter some events. With 500 million naira in your account. You said you will not enter. By the time you get there, you just say, but I can serve. So stop overrating yourself and get to work. But today, I want to zero in on, I will title this, God's Cure for an Inferiority Complex. We have believers who have an inferiority complex. What's an inferiority complex? It's basically simple. Struggling with the feeling of being inferior to others. Not being good enough. Think you're not spiritual enough. Think you're not intelligent enough. But you are. And sometimes, I don't think we talk about this in church. We all come together with grins on our faces, smiles, welcoming each other to church. And there are people who feel low. They're not depressed. They just don't believe they are up there. And if that's you, I trust God for you in this series that you level up. Yeah. And all over the Bible, you have people who struggled with this. The feeling of inadequacy, I'm not good enough. If I count how many times as a pastor, right from my campus days, which is just yesterday, kidding. But right from my campus, if I count how many times Christians have come to me and they say, I just don't think I can do it. And it's not humility. You know, there's humility of the campus president, the fellowship pastor. You know, that humility, that false humility. When they say,
And we announce the president. Oh, he's going to be leading us for the next tenure. Brother Orwell Edeji. Now start crying. Like they did not tell you 2 months ago. They have told 2 months ago. In fact, you have written your agenda. The people you will deal with in the fellowship. The department that you are. You have written everything. Now start crying. I can't do it. I can't do it. You can do it. You. Watch them. 2 weeks later. Dear children in Christ. Papa. Children in Christ, 2 weeks. Don't be the cry that last week. I can't do it. I remember I was one. I was invited fellowship to help them with ordination of I won't mention the fellowship, it's in Unilag. So I was there for the ordination. I was there for the West Coast camp. Then I went for the ordination. I already spoke to the president about that, the incoming president. I've done that in the West Coast camp. We discussed. Then I ended up and he was crying. I told him, I said, stop. Stop. We like a lot of pretense in the body of Christ. We like it. You know? But that's not the kind of humility I'm talking about. I mean, there are people who are just naturally, they feel not enough. We have that in the Bible. Remember Peter? Jesus borrowed Peter's boat. And the moment Peter saw that, looks like this man is special. And Jesus said, come with me, let me make you fishers of men. Peter said, I'm not enough. He said, go away from me. I am but a sinner. You can't be using me. I can't be the one. But that was not what Jesus saw, right? We must bridge that gap. Listen very well. Between what God sees and say about us and what we see and say about ourselves. It must level. I see myself the way he sees me. Because the devil steals that. And uses that as a tool. Inferiority complex is the tool of the devil. He uses it a lot. No, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Help us to understand that if any man be in Christ, he is in the new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. You say all things are of God. That means you are a new man in Christ. So why do you feel not enough? I said, inferiority is not humility. It's not, I just don't want to overrate myself. No, that's not it. Humility is seeing God as your strength. That's humility. Humility is, I know this is not about me. God is the one working in me to do this. That's humility. Inferiority is you not seeing who God has made you to be. We sang that song earlier. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. But how many times have we had that and sung that and the next day you are in perpetual anxiety? God has a cure for inferiority complex. He said it's a tool of the enemy. I don't want you to raise your hands, but how many times have you felt I'm not like the others? Of course, there's an extreme where you are overconfident in yourself. And I remember in my primary school, my teacher had to write a report, I think in primary 6, that he is too overconfident. And my mom started taking that serious and said, your pride will not ruin you in the name of Jesus. Like almost every day. And thank God, later in life, I had to look at myself and say, what do I have gone say? Because everywhere I go, I make mouth. I talk. That's an extreme. I'm not like that again now. Now I'm shy. Amen. Some of you don't know. Oh, you don't know. But well, you know now. You don't think I'm shy. Shall I? Just that sometimes if I talk, amen, places where you think I can talk anywhere, but I'm shy. Hallelujah. Yes. There's an extreme, but feeling I'm not like the others. Maybe because and one of the main causes of an inferiority complex is comparison. When the devil wants to fight a man with this complex, the feeling of being inferior to others, the first thing he makes you do is to start comparing yourself with another person. Never compare yourself with others. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'll wait for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, your identity is in Christ though. Huh? You are enough. You're smart enough. You're good enough. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they that measure themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves are no wise. Amen. Paul says, it is not wisdom to start looking around and start comparing yourself. You're not wise. That's what he's saying. Those who compare themselves with others, they're not wise. You're wise in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Stop comparing yourself. You're different. Is that what motivational speakers always tell you? Huh? That you're different. Right? This is the first time I agree with them. I'm agreeing. You're different. You're unique. Stop comparing. See, there will not be two the same people. Compare your intelligence. Why am I not as brilliant? Why you? Don't forget what Paul said. Those who compare themselves with others among themselves are not wise. Comparison steals your joy. So that's not just intelligence. People even compare beauty. I don't think I look fine. Why do you think so? Why? Sisters, come now and go compare body. Why is my shape like this? What's wrong with your shape? What's wrong with your forehead? Fine. I know we can build an entire step for retreat here. But what's wrong with that? Amen. Are you the first person that will look like that? No. Will you be the last person that will look like that? No. Were there successful people that look like that? Yes. Were there failures that look like that? Yes. There is really nothing special about anybody. We are all special, and that makes all of us not special. If you are special and special and special and special, we are all not special. Special means everybody is the same and I stand out. But if everybody is also different, then we are all the same and different at the same time. Never compare yourselves with others. You could not finish with a first class. And so what? What will now happen? So because of that, okay, fine. I know you now finish with a 2-1 again. The answer is you even take 2-2. You still drop the 2-2. By mistake, it dropped from your hand. You finish with a pass. Is that not the next one? Funny enough, in school, I never bothered myself with all of this. I didn't even think about it. I just realized there's and they go. Fine, just distinction and pass in medical school, but why are you that bothered? Those things don't define anybody. They don't define you. And yet we have believers who are struggling with an inferiority complex. You feel you're not enough. You feel you're not doing enough. You feel you can't amount to enough. That's not God's voice. Oh, that's not God's voice. Peter said, I'm not enough. And God said, no, you're exactly who I'm looking for. While he thought, I can't even fish. God said, you will take more than fishes. You will take men. I see myself how he sees me. You don't believe that? I believe it. You're comparing yourself, you're comparing your family. Only if I came from Otedola. I've met believers. I've met someone who literally hated his dad. Because why, when others were having money. See now, I'm now suffering. So when he clocked 30, I told him, I said, we are there now. Your son, because he gave birth when he was 28, thereabout. Your son, the time starts now. Because what you told me some years ago, your son will tell you, he laughed. He said, no, I've outgrown that. Eh? I've gone kidding. Now you have seen that money too is not easy to come by. Amen. Hallelujah. No, they say when you leave your parents' house, sense will fall on you. Right? You now begin to know that, wow, people buy Packer. There are some things you just see at home. You don't know that it was bought. Now you know that water can finish. Right? Whether bottle water or pure water. Now you say, wow, so it can finish. Because all your life, you just see it there. And you drink small, you leave the remaining. And next time you come, you don't take that one again. Throw down, take another bottle. Why?
Because now you be king. Odogu. Now Odogu has not eaten since morning. Because now you know that money is worked for. You are blaming those your uncles that promised you things and did not give you. How about now that you are an uncle? How many things have you given? Amen?
I remember when I was younger, there were people in church that you felt, this person have money. So you go ask them for money. And then you see that they are a bit slow. Sometimes they don't even, sometimes they are even dodging you. The other day someone came and was asking me for a favor. A particular amount of money. And I was telling Roshola, Roshola was with me, I said, this person will not believe. Now, I have that money, right? But I have something I wanted to use the money for. You get what I'm saying? This person will not believe me if I say I don't have 100,000 naira to give him or her. How do I explain? Now, you see this 100 pa. It has target. And I must not sin. It must hit the target. And I'm also on a timeline. Me, I don't need 100,000. What I need is more. Amen. Now, God now took my mind back to, see, when you used to build people. Fine, I didn't used to build, but there was an occasion like that where I asked someone for favor. It was about school. And it was slow, and I felt, you have the money now. But you don't know what people are also going through. Let's see that one. Stop comparing yourself with others. It brings you nowhere in your spiritual journey. What it does is it steals away what God is doing through you. Stop comparing yourself. Compare your intelligence. Compare your family. Compare your husband, your wife. You're heading towards something not too good. It's not that you know your wife is not tall. Eh? After many years. After many years. Hallelujah. Did they rush you? Did they do blindfolding challenge for you? Did you go and pop the balloon? And what's that nonsense show? You and your happy. If I enter that and the poor balloon, I will beat you. Why you pop balloon for me? Just kidding. Is that what you went to do? Where you went to get wife? You went to pop balloon? Most of you now got to me and say, let's understand ourselves. Sorry, where are you from? No! You had enough time to figure out. And that's why when I'm involved in marriage counseling, I always ask. I ask the question of them. What do you like about this lady? Why are you saying you want to marry her? I know that you'll be laughing and everything. Me, I'm serious. So later you know come to me that you have always, what God told you was tall and coke bottle. This one is stout. Small stout. It's not coke bottle. Short, it's small stout. Are you listening to me? Don't compare. Yeah. See what pastor is doing for his wife. What is pastor doing for his wife? Are you following me home? Amen. I say, yeah. Are you having issue? I'm issue.
Which issue? You should call. Don't compare yourself with others. Paul says that's foolishness. So if you find yourself always feeling below others, always feeling not enough, maybe you compare yourself too much. Take it away. Take it away. Just take it away from your life. Can you admire what God is doing through others? Good things are happening to them and say, you know what, I want this for myself. Of course. And both of us know that's way different from comparison. Comparison is not you being ambitious and you wanting more. No, it's you looking down on yourself and saying, you know what, I will never be it. But that's over now, right? Walk with confidence. Enter the room like you own it. Don't enter another person's office like you own it. I don't like to use myself, but you will never see me. Why? Number one, I will not go where I'm not invited. Number two, I will not go where I'm not needed. So everywhere I enter like a king. It's cho 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 cho. Dojubole eronuru. Dojubole eronuru. I have to explain. Eronuru. It's goat. You know, it's not greatest of all time. Goat, meh. He's the one that goes where he's not invited. Always going to different people's houses. That's what some believers are. And so, if you, will they send me out of this party? Why are you going to a party? Is that how bad you need jollof rice? See some people.
party that he invites you to, because you can't go and, you can't wear lace. You're going there. You sit on the table. Then they don't serve you. You now feel embarrassed. If that happens to you over and over and over again, you something start building up. You are not wanted. And the devil did not bring that to your life. You brought it by going everywhere. Stay in your house. Make your own food. Must you go to party every weekend? Some people, I'm already stepping on their toes like saying, hey, Kini. Bible says rejoice with those who rejoice. But the people rejoicing not call you. The people rejoicing say, stay far. Rejoice from afar. Never let your head go down. You are the child of a king. God is your father. You don't believe it. You are a child of God. That's the way I walk. That's the way I talk. That's the way I address things. I'm a child of God. You can't talk down on me. You can't. Even if you are the president of the country, I honor you definitely. Bible teaches to honor the king. Love the brotherhood. Honor the king. Peter taught it. But you can't find me looking. No, I'll look at you. What do you want to do? Yeah, you're the president, so. I'm not the president, I'm the pastor of Glorious House Church. That's who God has made me. If you're not the pastor of Glorious House Church, you're a member of Glorious House Church, you're a doctor, right? You are whatever. Whatever. See, be grateful for who you are. You can always improve, right? But where you are is enough. You improve there. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you will grow better. But where you are, it's fine. It's fine. Never let the devil draw you into that trap where you start feeling not enough. Confidence is not arrogance. It is faith in who God says you are. I'm literally taking his word and say, you know what? That's me. If he says I'm chosen in Christ, that's me. If he says I'm loved, that's me. If he says I'm accepted in Christ, that's me. I'm not seeing otherwise. I'm not seeing a different picture. That is me. Look at Judges. Judges 6. Your gifts are enough. Your calling is enough. Stop looking for something else. Judges, you there? I'm there. Chapter 6. So we're looking at God's cure for an inferiority complex, right? Judges 6. That's verse 15. I'll start with verse 14. This is Gideon now. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this in your might, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? And he said unto him, O my Lord, what will I save Israel with? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. See Gideon's description of himself. When you say I am the least is comparative term, right? Comparative superlative. Remember, right? If you don't go to Asaudin, as a primary school, and secondary school. Sorry, who went to Asaudin here? Yeah. Apart from the person we all know. Any other person. So I will stop. Oh. Sorry. Wait, what's the name of your secondary school? Eh? Odumeje? Odudua? Where is it? Mushi? I've never heard of it before. Well, I didn't grow up in Lagos, so it's fine. If I was in my secondary school. I can't hear you. Fed Mat. Ha. Huh. The Nepo. So if you not go to Odudua or what the hell is Odudua secondary school? They teach you guys how to do like IFA things. Just kidding. Sorry if you are listening online too and you are part of Odudua people. I'm sorry. And you cannot call this one tribalism. What I'm saying is, there's superlative, right? And then there's comparative. Comparative means I'm taking something by the side. I'm saying this is more or this is less. So when you say I'm the least in my father's house, you're comparing something. In fact, that's superlative. Least is the most low. I am the least in my father's house. It is I'm the lesser. I'm the least. Meaning Gideon had looked around. He said, you know what? I don't think I will amount to anything. So when God came to him, he said, I am the least. But look at God's description of him in verse 12. Verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizurite. And the son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide from the Midianites. The people he's hiding from is the people that God said, you go and save Israel from. Can we verse 12 together? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Amen. God sees him as a mighty man of valor. He has not fought. But God is saying, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon is saying, I'm the least in my father's house. May what God see and say about you become your reality. Yeah. There are people who God, what God is seeing about you is great. But what, the way you see yourself is, Pastor, have you seen my classmates? And so, what about them? Pastor, if you come to my office, I will not come, sorry. No, I'm just saying, if you come to my office, if you see people, you see the car they are driving. So, you are not the car you drive now, are you? Jesus said, the life of a man is not the abundance of things he possesses. The life of a man is not in the abundance of the things he possesses. It's not. You are not your school results. You are not your job. You are you. And whether you like it or not, treasure can come from clay. Whether you like it or not. God can make the foolish things of the world become the best things. God said, you mighty man of valor. But Gideon has never seen himself like that. So the responsibility, there's a responsibility on our lives. Are you listening to me? To level up. Say level up. To level up between who God says you are and who you think you are. You need to bridge that gap. Same thing with Moses. Look at Exodus 4. You learning something? Exodus 4. God told Moses, you're going to go to Pharaoh. And you're going to rescue your people. And he asked the first question he asked is, sorry, who is my people? who are these people? Who are they? Because Moses was born an Israelite or an Hebrew by Hebrew women, right? Was raised in the palace as an Egyptian. Was raised by the king's daughter. So he was called a prince. So he has a citizenship or citizenry of the Egyptians. He's an Hebrew by birth. And he ran away from Egypt and became a Midianite. Right? Married Midianite. Gave birth there. Had work. Had a company was running in Midian. So when God said, you save your people, he had to ask. Which of them? I think we spoke about this when we look at identity crisis. Is it God's cure for an identity crisis? Huh? That was title. I always define God's cure. So identity crisis. We've done an identity crisis for those who are maybe you were born and you grew up in an orphanage home, or you had believers who the parents ran away and they grew up with in foster care, and you're struggling with who you are, who you really are. There's a Nigerian musician now, a gospel musician, who she was telling her story how son name kept changing. From primary school to secondary school to university. When she wanted to enter the university, that was when she started questioning it. Why are you this in primary school and then in secondary, in junior secondary school was different? Because they kept passing her from different homes. And that really affected her psyche. And she didn't know who she was. And the believers were like that too. But you're a child of God. If everything else fails, we don't say these things because we are in the church. It must be a reality outside the four walls of this church that you are a child of God. God is your father. I say, who's your father? I say, God. Actually, that happened. I said it. And it just came out unconsciously. You know, traffic issues now. I was driving and let me just go. I'm the owner of the road. You know what we say in Nigeria? The road belongs to me, this particular lane. And then it was coming out of that. So I stopped and I said, where are you going to? Can't you see that your man just said the first question, where's your father? I said, God. I said, wait. That would not make for a good argument here. Because I wanted to really deal with him. Amen. I said, Pastor, are you fighting? No, fight care. That's the last thing you ever see me do. I don't fight. I talk. Anything that will revolve you, once you bring out knife, cutlass, or like this, I'll get back in my car. Amen. My assignment is too precious. Amen.
It's too precious. Imagine me coming with a black eye on Sunday. I say, no, I fell. I fell from the stairs. Or I hit my head on the wall. Pastor, WrestleMania. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. God is my father. You can say that often till it becomes second nature. I said, you must believe God's word the way you believe your name. Nobody can confuse me or convince me otherwise of what my name is. I know my name. You can't also convince me of my maybe cultural identity or racial identity. I'm a black man. You can't tell me, no, I see you as a tall male Caucasian. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. What's Caucasian about me? I'm not. A tall Asian. Gujum Pairo. Hallelujah. No, I'm not. Hallelujah. They're not talking to you. Look at me. I'm the one preaching to you. You must believe God's word the way you believe. That's your identity. Nobody should be able to confuse you. The devil must walk over time to make you think otherwise. The devil's going to have to walk a lot to make me feel I'm not wanted. Or to make me feel, I'm a cast outcast. No, I'm not. I know it. I know it like I know my name. I'm in God's plan. I know it. I know it. I'm part of God's story on the earth. I know it. I'm not depressed. I know it. See, these are the things that you must say to. There will never be a time that will not be needed. I'm always useful. Can you call yourself useless? How now? And that's because of this social media age. It makes comparison also easy. Before you look at 3 accounts on Instagram. This is my age mate too. Someone posted on Twitter the other day. Said the owner of the club, it was a Premier League club, Sunderland. The owner bought the club when he was 23 years old. He's 27 now. Yeah, what were you doing at 23? And I quoted it. I said, I bought jeans. Kill yourself. I mean, if I do something, did I not do anything when I was 23? I bought jeans. Designer. Hallelujah. You can't intimidate me. Shame him by jeans. If he bought jeans, he didn't buy the one I bought. Because he's in my house. Hallelujah. You have to work hard to make me feel small to you. Because I really don't rate what you have like that. I want mine. I don't want what you have. I want mine. Hallelujah. Moses, Exodus 4. That's where I am. Verse 10. Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I'm not eloquent. Moses, eloquent. Did you see how he dealt with Israelites? Is he eloquent? Moses sat down from morning to night counseling. Remember that story? Where Jethro had to say, if you keep doing this, you are going to kill yourself. You have to now teach others so that they can do this counseling for you. If you are not eloquent, you can't counsel from morning to night. Counseling is eloquency. 80% of counseling is knowing how to talk. Moses lied. Maybe not a lie. Maybe the events and the sequences of events in his life have made him doubt himself. My mother had to leave me for a stranger to take care of. The stranger now wants to kill me. And God is saying I should go back there. Lie. They whine. He says, I'm not eloquent. Neither therefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto your servant, I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who made man's mouth? Who makes dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have I not the Lord? Now go. I will be with your mouth and teach you what to say. Amen. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray you, by the hand of whom you will send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is Aaron the Levite not your brother? I know that he will speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. Amen. He says, I am not eloquent. I don't know how to talk. How many of you feel like that? Don't raise your hand. Because that's stopping today. Every time they give you a microphone, come and talk. You have melted. Why? When I was in school and we have these group presentations, the part I used to choose in the presentation is, I'll be the one to present. I don't want to do all the typing and all those group presentations. I was like, when we are done, I'll talk. I'm not the one of, my name is Kinigan.
And this, we are group four. You know, this kind of, and this is group four. They will introduce themselves. Now that's your own talk. No! I want to take the main talk. I might not want to answer the questions. But that's the easiest part. I'm seeing this on the slide. My own is to talk. About. I didn't know your classmates. Amen. The person you are scared of talking to is even scared of talking to. I didn't know your work colleagues. That your boss that you are afraid. I'm not saying you walk up to your boss tomorrow and say, we don't do prayer on Monday morning, you know. You will not find anybody here. No, go lose your work. I say, mash egbele. There's no egbele. The church is locked. It's a midweek service. Hallelujah. But that it's also human. Everyone is human. You sleep and you wake up. The person you are afraid of, if you see them, really? Really? I remember facing up with the lecturer sometimes. He said, you are not even scared. Why should I be scared of you? I don't know. Why? I should look at me and say, I don't understand. Why? I don't know why I should be scared of you. Number one, I didn't tell her. My heart, I'm not going to fail your course. What are you teaching? For you to know it, I will know it. That's the truth. If you've got a brain and you know it, I have one too up here. Whatever is learnable, is learnable. Let me say this. Whatever is teachable, is learnable. You are the one thinking, oh, I might not have the capacity. You have it. This person that is teaching itself, if you knew when the person was in school too, that the classmates were laughing at him and he's not doing shakara. Learn it. Are you listening to me? A child of God is not beggarly. You are not inferior to anyone in this room. You are not inferior to anyone in this room. I say it again. You are not less than anyone in Christ. Stand tall. Your confidence is in Christ. Amen. I'll start closing on this. Pray for me. So continue next week actually. Like I said, I was able to finish up. Moses said, I'm not enough. I'm not enough. I don't think I can do this. And God said, why do you think so? Why can't you talk? Why? You say, I'm just naturally shy. Shy doesn't mean you can't talk to people. You can't say what you want. You go to the embassy. And then you start shaking. Why? I don't want them to deny me. Deny. Is that not the highest you can do? I'm not scared of you. Hallelujah. What's the highest you want to do? You can't kill me. Even if you take the body, you can't take the spirit. You can't. I am who I am. Eternally. See, life is in seasons. Men are in phases. Seasons will come and go. I'm not defined by the seasons I am in. I'm not defined by that. Oh, pastor, I'm still trying to get a job. And it looks like everybody in the family is on my neck. Everybody is thinking that maybe I'll never amount to anything. But ask yourself, who are you? This is not motivation. Flush motivational disc. Anyway, this one is not motivation. This is you. We saw it with Gideon. Leveling up with what God has said about you. Why will you feel you're not loved? Because they're not hosting you. You want them to be toasting you about like bread. I told one of my friends some years ago, say if I was a lady, and some of you interested in this, say if I was a lady, I don't want to be toasted. I don't think I want to be. Because my scrutiny. Why? Let God work things out for you. Stop forcing things. Hey pastor, my age mates, what happened to your age mates? What happened to your age mates? I didn't know your age mates have died. I did not say, my age mates, some of them are in the grave. Let me fast. Life of a man is not in the abundance of things he has. Not at all. Why are you under pressure? He makes all things beautiful in his time. Trust God with your life. And trust him
for what is next.
In the bid to just be in a relationship, any kind of relationship, you don't care. Enjoy the badger. Both of you are together. Let me interpret that one. The person you are in, my baby. Your baby is a baby. Baby that is raising hand at you. Any small thing. Slap. He says, it's correcting me. I pity your life. It's correcting you. We slap. Imagine your pastor correcting you with slap. Ipa. That's in Christ. Always nagging. Always shouting. I've never understood one thing. This is love. Even the Bible say, whoever you love, you rebuke. Revelations, have you? We try. You are stupid. If you are calling stupid people, you'll be second. Because you'll be too stupid to claim first. Stay in an abusive relationship all in the name of having something. Anything. Let me just have a man. What does having a man mean? You are a man in Christ yourself. What does having a man mean? And because of that, sometimes you just rush into pits. I wait on God for his own time and in his own way. I'll not be faster than God. I'm not saying tank ambitions. I'm not saying dump being ambitious. That's not what I'm saying. Listen to me very well. I'm saying there's absolutely no reason why you should compare your life to others around you. Pastor, I want you to announce my wedding in church. I don't understand. If you want me to announce it today, let me announce. Sister Dami, are you getting married tomorrow? Announcing is easy. After we are done announcing, you will not go and face it at home. Oh, I need some uncle of pastor. Because you know me. I gave you 1 year. To tell me everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you're going to have beautiful marriages. Yes. Those of you who are married, your marriage is fruitful. Yes. And blissful. Amen. Yes. But don't compare yourself around. Pastor, if you don't have the money to buy the kind of clothing another person is buying, buy what your money can handle. As long as you don't come to church naked, I'm fine. You see, one day, what is not enough will be surplus. One day. Moses said, I cannot talk to Pharaoh, but he worked miracles. We saw God-sized events. You know what I say? An event is God-sized. We saw God-sized events with Moses. He led them through the sea. Led them 40 years in the wilderness. I am who he says I am. If he says I'm a great leader, then I am a great leader. If God says I'm loved, then I'm loved. I'm not bitter to myself. I'm not eating myself. I love me. I love my body. I love my intelligence. I love my brain. I love my face. Amen. I like myself. You should. The reason why a lot of believers can, their ministry is also tanking, is because you don't even see yourself in that office first. You're still, how do you now want to help another person? You have used all the skincare in the world. Is your face so? And so you be. Like it, like that. You are actually beautiful. Serious. You're like, cannot say we're lying in church. You're actually very, very beautiful. I'm not saying you cannot work on things, so. Amen. Like that's your five plot you get. Can work. I'm saying, but don't gonna be looking for surgery. You want to go and do boom boom. Believer. Because you're not comfortable in your body. You want to go and enlarge breasts. Why? Why? You want to feed nations? Hallelujah. What's that gym, pa? Uzi gym, 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 gym. That stomach is not coming down. You have to get that. Just take diet seriously. You are fine. And ensure you are not insulin resistant. Every other thing, let God work it for you. I'm not saying gym is not fine. But you are doing it out of the place of desperation. Desperation. I know. What's it made dumbbell? Like, bro, why? You are sweating. Love your body. Love your face. You see that your nose that is big? Like it like that. It's your nose. You've been using it to breathe since all these days. Suddenly it's too big. Is that not why you're taking more oxygen? Just kidding. I am who he says I am. So you've got to renew your mind with God's word. You must know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, the devil will tell you who you are not. So Jesus, if you bow to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth. But you already asked that. He is the Son of God. You don't need to prove it. If you are the Son of God, turn this stone to bread. Why should I? I am the Son of God. But the devil plays in those gaps. Those knowledge gaps. If you don't know it, he will use it against you. So you must keep yourself. This is who I am in Christ. Accepted, loved, cherished, a part of the body of Christ. That's who I am. I'm in God's family. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. That means I have an identity, right? The psalmist says, you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Which one don't you believe there? The beautiful or the wonderful? See, beautiful and wonderfully made. You want to change the beautiful and wonderfully made? You're a child of God. And there's nothing wrong with you. You must start seeing yourself. I will see you. Stay in the right company. We'll see all of those next week. Don't wish you are someone else. Stay in the company of those who see the best in you. Not those who tear you down at every opportunity. Also, you should see the best in people. Stop telling them, see this, your hair. Why? Journalist. You are seeing everything. Personally, I don't think your choice of a spouse should be in physical attraction alone. Physical attraction is part two. First, the pastor, you don't say, hey, I was just blind. Love is blind. I did not see what I got married to. I just woke up one day and I did not understand. It's part of it. We'll talk about this was later. We'll talk about relationships later. But what I'm saying is, God has a valuation of you. Level up. Level up. Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. But Gideon says, I am small. If you don't level up, you will not be able to fulfill your assignment. A lot of things God wants to do through us are not being done today because we are yet to level up. Can you pray for yourself this morning? Say, God, show me who I am. Right on your seat. Right on your seat there. Help me to see myself exactly the way you see me. Help me, Lord. Paul told Timothy, we have not received the spirit of fear. What we have is power, love, and a sober mind. A clear mind. That's what we have. A sane mind. A humble spirit. Where we know that God is our ultimate source. I don't see myself below how you see me, Lord. I level up. I don't think myself as small. I don't think myself as insignificant. I'm not useless. I know there are a lot of things that can be done through me. In your kingdom. And in the world out there. I'm great. And I can do great things. This is the least I will ever be. Because every day I'm getting better. And I'm growing stronger. All I have is yours, Lord. And it's getting better. My family, my work, my ministry. I don't compare myself with others. I only see myself in you. And I bear the name you call me. I bear the name you call me, Lord. I don't answer any other name. I'm not a failure. I'm not a failure. I'm not struggling. I'm not small. I'm not the least in my clan. In mighty man of valor. In you I have all the wisdom I need. And I find your wisdom wise enough. In you I have all the strength I need. And I find your strength strong enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.